Well, you are listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. One daily news story well told. This is a special edition with video. And so if you're listening, you can check back on our website and Facebook page to see the full video interview. And if you're watching us online, make sure to download the Charisma News Podcast. You'll never miss a story. Our guest today is a three-time Grammy-nominated Christian recording artist. He's been leading Christians around the world into the presence of God and inspiring us with his Spirit-led worship and music for over 20 years. He just released a new album that went to the top of the charts, and he's here to tell us about it right after this.
All around the world, poverty is stealing choices from kids. It's time to give those choices back. Introducing Chosen, World Vision's new invitation to sponsorship. For the first time, kids have the power to choose their own sponsors. Now the choice is theirs. The choice to take hold of their future, and even the choice to step into a life-changing relationship with you. Learn more at worldvision.org/chosen.
Well, welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast video edition. I am here with the one and only David Crowder of Crowder Music. Mr. Crowder, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. That sounded regal. I appreciate you having me. For sure. I know it's confusing. It's like the last band, you went by your name, and now you're gone solo, yeah. And you're still going by your name. You seem pretty like self-centered there, and also the not creative in your naming of things. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know, but you're a pretty cool guy. And I think you need a pretty cool branding, well, you know?
I don't think you know me well enough to say that yet, Jeff, but thank you. I appreciate it.
You got this amazing blue LED vibe behind you, and you're looking good. But it's an honor to have you on. Man, we love your music. And yeah, I was looking at it. Can You Hear Us? That was released, was it 2001? 2000?
Wow, that is wild.
2002. Okay. And according to Wikipedia, you had two self-released albums from 98 and 99. So we're talking about 20 years of
wild.
Really leading a whole generation into the presence of God. How does that feel, just hearing that?
Man, it makes me chuckle a little bit that those first two that you referenced, the very first one was a live recording that we had done at our church. The reason I got into this, I was part of a church start in Waco, Texas. I was going to school at Baylor University, and we had done a live. We just recorded live one Sunday morning and put it out. And I promise you, Jeff, I thought this is the best music that's ever been made on planet Earth. It's going to change everything. Now, I will then say, my wife, after she knew we were going to be doing this for a bit of time, she found every one of those recordings and threw them in the trash. You can't buy, I mean, I'm not kidding you, boxes of this live recording just in the dumpster. She's like, no one ever needs to hear that. So, in fact, I believe the last one that was in circulation was on eBay, and we purchased it for way too much money, and it found its way to the trash immediately. I'm not kidding, man. She's like, she drove the price of my music up by just wanting to throw it away. So we sort of inflated the value early on, and that's how we are here today. Is she?
You know what? But thank God that you recorded those albums that you are now embarrassed of. But you know, the Bible totally does tell us not to despise the day of small beginnings. And on behalf of the Christian world, thank you for continuing and recording more.
We got better. We just a lot of work, a lot of hard work.
100%. Well, you certainly did get better. Your latest album, Milk and Honey, went to number one on the Christian charts. Tell us a little bit about the album.
Well, it was obviously made in a season that none of us were prepared emotionally or spiritually for. You know, the great thing, I think, looking now that we've got a little light at the end of the tunnel from this pandemic, is one of the more amazing things that I was cognizant of while writing for this album is that there's never been a time when we've globally gone through something together. You know, back in the day when I was growing up, you would have three, there were like three channels on television. So there would be this sense of shared experience when, Tuesday night we all watched the Ingalls go through something horrific on Little House in the Prairie. And there was a sense of shared trauma because that show's rough. But there's rarely a time when you can know you're making something that is coming from a space that we can all collectively understand and find commonality in. And that part was pretty interesting as a writer. But what I found myself wanting to write about most was what was on the other side. Rather than what does the wilderness feel like, it was more like what's promised land going to be? You know, there's going to be something beyond the groanings that we feel. And that's really what this album's trying to do, is collect thoughts and words that we can sing together once we're back together.
So was the focus of the album then focusing on walking through a desert place in hopes of a land flowing of milk and honey? Is that essentially the angle that you took?
The idea of milk and honey, of course, from any of us that are have been around church and scripture, being the idea of Canaan, the other side full of every good thing, promised land. But it was more writing with the knowledge that that's where we're headed, and that that's where we will be. You know, one day we will be face to face, and so it there is an acknowledgement of the wilderness and the desolation, I guess, that we've felt separated from one another. But it's a really hopeful record. It's very choral. More choral than I've been writing church music my whole, I guess now that you've said it, 20 plus years or whatever this has been, I've been grounded and rooted in the church and have been writing for the church, but there's a real choral aspect, and I felt like a lot of that is just because we were separated, you know, being apart from one another, we're not made for it, and so it seemed like every chorus I get to, I'm like, and then we need a choir. And so it kind of got redundant, but I can't wait to be back out with people in a room getting to sing these things that were intended to have a lot of voices along with me.
Yeah, 100%. The track, Good God Almighty, the single hit number one on the Billboard Hot Christian Songs charts for 5 consecutive weeks. And actually, that song has that choir, almost like a gospel flavor. And as I was listening to it earlier, I was thinking about your albums and really how diverse your sound is, eclectic. How do you keep innovative, you know, as you continue to record new albums?
I think there's a word. I think it's ADHD. I think so. The word
is like it's coping mechanism.
I think no, man. I just have. I think. The things I'm compelled by when I see and encounter things other people have made, it feels there's like always, I'm compelled more by authenticity than I am by polished perfection so something will catch my ear, and I feel like if it's got my attention, that it's going to have other people's attention too. I'm not the only one that this is like kind of scratching at right now. And so I'm just taking, I think what we're supposed to do as creators, and with the fingerprint of the creator on us is to take the elements that we're given and organize them in a way that is beautiful and reflects the one who's made us. And so I feel like I'm just organizing elements, and it typically happens to be one of the elements. Maybe the element was a banjo and it's got to be in there, you know.
Is there a fancy name for the chains that you keep beating in the song, or is it just called guy who plays the chains?
They're 13 gauge, you know. It's a particular. We do have that guy. We have a percussionist, and I promise I don't know any of that. He's surrounded by what looks like to me a yard sale. I'm like, are you really a professional?
Can I volunteer if he ever gets sick for one of your concerts? You call me up and I think I could do it.
Same here. I'm like, I don't know. Are you really though? Are you a professional musician? Because it looks like this is like, did you find this today? Where did you get this? Like this was outside and you brought it inside. Is it not? And then his argument back to me is like, bro, you don't understand. I have to make a decision every measure of this song, which thing to hit. And there's a lot of things to hit, and it's got to be the right one. I'm like, well, you have a point. That's a lot of stuff to decide between.
But it does make for great sounding music, and it makes for great music videos because it looks very cool. But, you know, you said something about God's creative nature of who God is, which was actually a great segue for, do you think that eclectic sound is something that as a Christian artist, mm-hmm. maybe even above, you know, what an artist that is, you know, not doing Christian music or music for God, do you feel like there's like an obligation or maybe a holy responsibility to keep innovating and keep being creative? Because I feel like you've embodied it over the years.
Oh, man, that's great. I think what we're all called to do is carry the story of God in a way that is very compelling. And to do that, I think you have to account for, like, so for Western music, we've decided to organize all of sound into a few tonalities, you know,
yeah.
out of all of frequency available, we've organized it in a way that we have 12 tones that we're going to decide how to put next to each other. And we all agree, hey, that's moving to me. But then there also, I feel like, is the responsibility of an artist that's of faith to account for the cry of a baby, which is very atonal, and or the sound of construction in the street that's you know making yeah. something or tearing something down. There's the obligation, I feel like, to reflect what it means to be alive as a human in relationship to the divine. And the whole story is, how do we get back into communion with our Maker? And there is a way. And to show the way, I think you have to account for our experience as the created. And it involves beauty, and it involves destruction. You know, mountain ranges, look, we say, oh, it's gorgeous mountains. The Rockies are gorgeous. And there was a lot of violent energy that went into yeah. the making of them. And I think it's the job of the one who knows the Maker to say, look at this. Look what can come from hardship. Beauty from ashes is a theme that is readily available for those that want to paint that way.
Well, certainly. And like you said, this past year has...
Yeah, not tough to point to hardship here,
no,
right?
Not hard to find the application in this one. It's yeah. pretty right out there. But you know, it's interesting because we just came through the pandemic, almost.
Yeah, so, the lights know, you lighted
in
yeah, the tunnel.
Yeah, the tunnel, depending on where you are at in the world and where you're at in America.
Totally.
But our nation really is a really strange place. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of tension, mm-hmm. a lot of division. We are looking for the church to take their place in culture and engage with the issues. And of course, pastors and different church leaders do that. But, you know, Crowder, as a Christian recording artist, you drive a lot of the narrative of how the church is thinking, what the church is saying. I mean, is that going into your creative process, or are you more focused on, you know, just trying to capture what is God saying to you in light of the moment? Or do you ever write your songs as a sermon, let's put it that way, into the cultural narrative?
That's great. I typically am not heavy. So I believe that, first of all, this moment has been just of absolute, I'm in wonder at it a lot, just because the opportunity for the church to say, Christ is disruptive in terms of culture, and the conversations of culture are transcended by what you're carrying when you're following this person, Jesus. Jesus came into a thing and disrupted it completely, countercultural in the most nth degree, you know, the most punk rock of anyone ever, which is why he's such a compelling figure to culture at large. So I feel like in a moment where there is cultural upheaval, that there's ability to say, wow, when we're talking about identity, the things that you're wanting to find, satisfaction and calmness in yourself, our identity is a totally different conversation piece.
Yeah.
Our identity, we're lost. We give up our fight for self. When we follow this person, we lay down ourselves, and that's super not what we're talking about in culture. Those aren't the talking points you see on most of what we're encountering in all forms of media. It's no, we need to fight for identity and who we are. And the real thing that's being said is, I want to be seen and known and loved, yeah, and valuable. And that's what we who follow Jesus is like. You're seen and you're known, even in a way that you will never be known. The way that you have been put together, in all of the spaces you want to, you know, hide of yourself, you're still known, and you're loved completely to the degree that the Creator of the world would lay down His only Son for you, and His, yeah, Son would gladly give Himself up, lay Himself down. And so I think there's a conversation piece that's just like, for an evangelist and someone who gets to talk to people every day, I'm like, this is like the easiest moment in history to say, look at this, like, see how you feel inside, and is there peace when you have someone go, okay, well, then we'll, you know, approach you this particular way. No, there's no peace. You still are at there's still unrest when you lay down and try to close your eyes, because there's not going to be satisfaction until you're back in communion with the one who knows you completely and has made, yeah, you. And grace extends to the, I think that's what is fun. Well, at the same time, when I say choral, I'm excited because of the cross-pollinization that's happening within, yeah, the Christian church music today, that there's a line that's blurred with the, what's happened with Mav City and collaborations with Bethel, and there's just so much that's, yeah, modeling it. The church music is ahead of where the cultural conversation is for one time in my lifetime. I mean, it's like, you want to know how to love your neighbor? Well, just don't even talk about that. Watch this. And, yeah, you can see it. You can see that the conversation is being transcended in ways that connect people to the transcendent. And that's so beautiful, yeah, to me. So I'm super,
you know, the Apostle Paul said that to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. And, you know, you mentioned Mav City. We're actually going to be having them on the cover of Charisma in a few months, because there is a unity that's being released through music like yours. And we feel it, we catch it. Because it's our heart cry, mm-hmm, no matter what your background is or the color of your skin. We were all made to drink from this one Spirit that Christ provided for us. And so I love it. Love the message. Love that you're carrying it. And for anyone that hasn't listened to the new album, Milk and Honey, you're going to feel it. Again, I was just listening to it this morning, getting ready for this interview. What Crowder does is bring this fresh take, this fresh release of the presence of God in a new sound. And so you're definitely going to love it. Hey, last question.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can give the answer. What's your favorite track on the album?
Oh, man. It's the last, well, I'm torn between a couple of them, but it's the last track called The Anchor. And it sounds pretty predictable. What's the last track of your album called? What's the anchor track called? It's called The Anchor. Like, oh, you're pretty creative. But it's so moving. And when we're talking about choral stuff, it's not just like a typical gospel type thing. It's like just the voices are a part of the music, and it's super cinematic, and just it's incredibly moving to me. But that's probably my go-to right now.
Amazing. And what's the best place that you want them to go to listen?
Well, anywhere you listen to music, yeah, it's like any place that you're typically getting your music from. Hopefully we're there. You know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but hopefully it's there.
And I think I read that you're going to be going back to live events. Is that happening soon?
Not till the fall. Now we've got some stuff. Okay. Summers are like my favorite part of the touring season, and it's not going to be like what it typically is, because they're usually full of festivals and fairs, and there's corn dogs at all of those. So,
come on.
But what we're, you know, not knowing where we were going to be, a lot of those places aren't quite opened up yet. So we kind of get a toe in the water over the summer, and then we have a pretty extensive tour that happens in the fall with a good buddy of ours that's a part of our church house here in Atlanta, Georgia, Sean Curran. And I can't wait. It's just wonderful to see things back on the calendar. I'll believe it when we get there, but I'm super hopeful about it.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure, honor to have you on the podcast. So happy we could have this conversation. And we're really just celebrating your success with Milk and Honey. And just pray that God will continue to bless it and bring it to more people. So thank you so much for being on today.
Amen. I'll take all of that. I appreciate it, Jeff. Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, likewise. God bless.
You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. We want to encourage you to make sure to share the episode with friends and family. It's a great way to share encouraging news as well as spread the kingdom of God. And it's how the podcast grows as more listeners find value and find encouragement in the content that we are providing. I pray today's episode blessed you.